Been looking forward to this show for quite some time. The inside scoop on the Florida Gators from a local perspective and from a more national perspective. A big time show coming up on today's Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Just a couple more sleeps, and then it's Tennessee and Florida right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, Neyland Stadium for the big showdown. Of course, we've talked about it. The Checker Neyland's going to be here. It's a sold-out crowd, 3:30 CBS time slot. College game day is going to be on campus. There's so much intrigue for what the game will look like and for who the guest picker for ESPN's game day is going to be. Man, this has been a fun week, and hopefully Tennessee will perform well, and it'll be a really, really good football game come Saturday. So looking forward to that. Hey, I'm your host of Locked On Vols, Eric Kane. I write for the ballquest.com website. That's the On3 affiliate for, of course, the Tennessee Volunteers. And you can always find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast. Please subscribe, support the show on YouTube. Hey, Boogie on yesterday's show from Talking Vols. Wasn't that fun? If you're listening, please go subscribe if you haven't already to the Talking Vols Podcast Network. Love the crossovers with Boogie, and I enjoy joining his show as well. But hey, today we've got a big-time crossover. We're crossing over with Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators, but also we're crossing over with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. You hear me promo his show just about every single day to end our show here. Chris Gordy's going to play judge and juror, and it's going to be me and Brandon kind of going, not really at each other, but Chris Gordy's going to run the show. And so I'm really excited about this edition, this crossover segment. Great collaboration across the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's me, it's Brandon Olson, Locked On Vols, Locked On Gators, and Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. He runs the show. Hope you enjoy it. Tennessee and Florida coming up in just a couple of days.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline's got you covered this season with more props, odds, lines than ever before. It is BetOnline, and it is where the game starts. Let's jump into it, guys. As we preview the SEC game of the week, we now welcome in Brandon Olson, host of Locked On Gators, and Eric Kane, host of Locked On Vols. Fellas, how are you today?
I feel like I'm in like big time right now. I got Vols and I got SEC here. I'm ready to go.
Happy to be here, man. Excited for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a big, big game for both programs. You know, for Tennessee, if they want to be the big top 20 team and everybody wants to say the Vols are back, this is one they have to win. And for the Gators, man, all the struggles the last 2 weeks after the big win over Utah, it's kind of like, man, are we for real, or are we going to have to wait a whole year for Billy Napier to get the trains back on the track? Brandon, I want to start with you. Give me the report card for your team 3 weeks into the season so far.
I'd say probably like C minus. I maybe D plus. I'm someone who, you know, yeah, 2-1 is a great start. Everybody has been so happy about this a few months ago. It's been ugly every step of the way. You know, you won the ugly Utah game, which I'm fine with that win. Florida was not projected to win that game. So I'm fine with that ugly win. And then an ugly loss against Kentucky. And then South Florida, who got annihilated by BYU. Florida walked away with a victory by the skin of their teeth. So this has just been, it's been disappointing, but I think a lot of Florida fans were like, oh, Billy, Anthony Richardson, we're so great now. And it's like, it's going to take a little bit of time to get there. So I think expectations were too high going into the year, but at the same time, you know, you're 2-1. You can still salvage things. It's not like a horrible situation for the Gators, but it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, it's like year one. Everybody wants to avoid that dreaded 6-6. 7-5 always feels like, all right, we're not bad. We're building something here. Let's go. Eric, thoughts on the Vols 3 weeks in so far?
I mean, they've been good. You know, grade-wise, maybe a B. I think, I mean, they beat the crap out of two MAC opponents just like you're supposed to. You don't learn anything from those football games. So Florida's definitely been more tested than Tennessee. But having said that, Tennessee did pick up a big win on the road over a solid Pittsburgh team in overtime. Found a way to win when the offense was not doing anything in the second half. So I think that was impressive. And that's a game that a year ago Tennessee would have lost, to be completely frank. So they've been fine. I'd say it's been about a B. I've liked what I've seen from the defense so far. Hendon Hooker's gotten off to slow starts, but his numbers have been so great by games in. But the challenge is here. I mean, this is SEC play in Florida. This is when Tennessee will be challenged for real this time.
Before we get into this game specifically, Brandon, give me your biggest storyline for the Florida Gators so far through these first 3 weeks.
It's got to be Anthony Richardson. He's just – and I also want to say, like, he's started 4 games so far. 3 of them were against top 25 teams. South Florida was the first start that was not against the top 25 team. It was that Georgia defense last year, which was insane. It was Utah this year, Kentucky, and then this South Florida game. So, yeah, he's had some tough matchups, but I think it's more so about he hasn't looked good while playing these games. Like, yeah, you've won a few of them, but really in the long run, he's not playing sustainable, successful football. Part of it's the play calling, part of it's him. I will stand by my point. I think he's hurt. I know that the Kentucky game, first drive, he handed the ball off, he got hit, and then he came up limping, did not run much after that. Then last week, he did not run much. I know that Billy, AR, people that I've spoken to in the program have all been like, oh no, he's healthy, he's fine. I don't buy it, just based on everything we saw last year was Anthony Richardson wants to run the football. I understand you go, oh, there's not much quarterback depth right now. He's got to stay safe. Slide, because if he does not run the ball, we're not winning games in Gainesville. So I think that I will stick with my point that I think he's injured, but it's a matter of, you know, now it's Tennessee week. You got to run that ball if you want to win this game. I don't care if you're banged up. I don't care if you're worried about depth. You want to win this game, you run that ball. So it has to be Anthony Richardson and his play.
Yeah, Richardson dead last in the SEC in passing yards, and of course, 0 touchdown passes. Not what you want out of your starting quarterback in the SEC. Eric, for the Vols, what's the biggest storyline so far for you through the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, heading into this football game, and I know we'll touch on it in a moment, but it's the injuries for Tennessee. But so far through 3 games, as Brandon was pointing out, the struggles of Anthony Richardson so far, it's kind of been the opposite. Hendon Hooker's been playing good football. And again, I can't reiterate this enough, Ball State and Akron, all right, that's not Florida. All right. You know, we'll see Florida this week, but, you know, played well in a game against Pittsburgh when he was SEC Offensive Player of the Week. 844 yards passing already, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. He protects the football. It's weird. Like the first drive or two, his numbers don't look great. And it's been a trend the first 3 games, but, you know, after that third, fourth drive, he's just been dynamite. He protects the football, makes good decisions. He's pushing the ball downfield. Hendon Hooker's been fantastic so far. And much like Anthony Richardson, I think Hendon Hooker is going to need to run the football in this game. That's an added element to his game that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks in Tennessee's past didn't have. And he's just a really, really good athlete. So, you know, the connection from Hendon Hooker to Cedric Tillman, Brew McCoy has been influxed in there a little bit. But the passing game for Tennessee has looked good through 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, particularly with those injuries. Where are we the latest on, you know, everybody from Jabari Spall, Cedric Tillman, where are we on those injuries as of this recording?
Yeah, I mean, of course, they're all day-to-day, and, you know, the coaching staff is not going to give you anything. Josh Heupel's not going to give you anything when he speaks to the media. And, you know, I understand that, obviously. If it's just me right now, you know, kind of in the midweek, I feel like Jabari Small and Dylan Sampson, the 2 running backs, have a better chance of playing than Cedric Tillman. That could always change. And, you know, we'll have to see what Tennessee does if Cedric Tillman is a no-go. But very much day-to-day right now, I feel better about Jabari Small and Dylan Sampson than I do about Cedric Tillman. But, of course, things can change before 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe we could do a one-for-one swap. Maybe Brandon could trade for a healthy Hendon Hooker, and then you guys can have, like, Naquan Wright and some of the healthy running backs for your backfield. We're going to get into previewing the game in just a second real quick, but want to remind you guys about our friends over at Nugenix. They've got some great stuff going on for the college football season. As you get older, your body changes, and maybe you get a little bit of that dad body like a lot of us are starting to get at this age. You feel a little bit less like your old self. You don't have time to work out, but you want the energy of the body that you want to have. You discovered Nugenix, and this is what you need to get going, at least for the start of, you know, a football season where you're going to be eating and drinking a lot of things that are just going to add that extra LBs to your body. Look, if you remember when winning felt easy, it's because you were younger. You were at the peak of your testosterone production. If you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen, that is what is going to help you turn back the clock and re-energize your workouts. Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Because Nugenix Total T boosts free testosterone that the aging process robs, you're going to feel stronger, you're going to feel leaner, you're going to have more energy and drive and more passion too. Your partner's going to notice the difference. Nugenix Total T is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix Total T can help re-energize your life and help you get back to your powerful, confident self. Now get a free complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text COLLEGE to 231-231. Text now, get a free bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast. Absolutely free. Text COLLEGE to 231-231. Text COLLEGE to 231-231. Continue on here on our crossover edition, getting you guys ready for the SEC game of the week. It is Tennessee and it is Florida. Coming from Knoxville, this has been a matchup that has been very lopsided in recent years. It's been one that Florida has owned this rivalry, but Tennessee looking to get back under Josh Heupel. Florida in a little bit of a transition period. So let's start a little bit in this game. Brandon, we'll start with you. What's kind of the key matchup you're looking for? What's one of the strengths of Florida that they can kind of exploit in this game?
I'm looking at this defense and Hendon Hooker, and, you know, like Eric has said, he's been very efficient with the ball. He has not turned it over. I think he's even got just one turnover-worthy play on Pro Football Focus right now, and even then, obviously, didn't happen. So I think that when you're looking at this Florida Gators defense, and they've kind of found their stride a little bit, especially in the passing game, running game, let's just completely overlook that. But in the passing attack, I think you're looking at Hendon Hooker and trying to force some turnovers. You know, he's a very efficient quarterback. We know that. But with this Gators defense, there's a staple that they have, which is never show the quarterback the same thing pre-snap that you're going to do post-snap. So it's about making this quarterback think a little more, think a bit more. If Tennessee wants to break out an RPO, Florida's pretty well equipped to stop those. I don't think that's going to be their approach, but I think that Florida's defense, that has to be what you're looking at, specifically that secondary against this Vols attack that they want to throw the ball. I mean, they've got, I think it's 34 pass attempts per game now, and Florida secondary is going to get quite a bit of a test.
Yeah, and Trey Dean, one of the leaders in the SEC already in tackles this season. Eric, let's talk about strength for the Vols. I would assume it's that passing game in Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of what Brandon just said. I'm really intrigued to see how, you know, Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, if he's in there, Jalen Hyatt, Brew McCoy, they kind of match up with this Florida secondary, because obviously the strength of this Florida football team, really, and of this defense so far, is that secondary. You got 2 really good safeties and Torrance and Dean, and you got some guys on the outside. They rotate their corners, of course, but they've got some decent corner play as well. So can Hooker, can Jalen Hyatt, who had a breakout game against Pittsburgh and, you know, played a, you know, career high type game against Akron last week, can they take advantage of that, is what I'm kind of looking at as well. But also on the flip side, this is something where, you know, Tennessee's going to have to really be mindful of. I know Anthony Richardson's a little bit banged up. I think we can all agree with that because he's just not run the football. And I completely agree with what Brandon said earlier. Like, if Florida's going to win this football game, Richardson's going to run the football. Tennessee has got to keep him in the pocket. Kentucky had the blueprint. Give the Wildcats credit. They kept Richardson between the tackles and said, hey, you're going to win this football game. You know, you're going to throw the football. We're not going to let you run. The ends, Tyler Barron, Byron Young, they've got to keep him bottled up. And in past memory, you know, there's been a lot of Florida quarterbacks that have had great success running the football on Tennessee, and a couple other games last year with Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, and some others as well. So Hendon Hooker, that Tennessee wide receiver, you know, room going up against an experienced and talented secondary for Florida. Flip side, Tennessee's ends and outside linebacker play, keeping Anthony Richardson in the pocket when he's on offense.
Yeah, Tennessee got that win at Pitt. Their defense did step up when they needed it most, and the defense was thought to be, that was going to be a weakness of this team. Let's talk about maybe an underrated aspect of this game. Brandon, the run game for Florida has been very good with all the running backs, from Montrell Johnson, Trevor Etienne's been a nice surprise as a freshman, Naquan Wright, and of course Anthony Richardson's running ability. It seems like if they're going to pull this off, it's got to be a dominant run performance from Florida.
Yeah, Florida's offensive line is it's a beautiful thing to see because it's like, wow, Florida finally has an offensive line that's performing, which we didn't see for quite some time in recent years, but their offensive line has just been moving dudes in the run game. Montrell Johnson, Trevor Etienne are two home run hitters. Naquan Wright's struggled a little bit to get going. South Florida was his first good game this year. Prior to that, with Utah and with Kentucky, he just didn't look like himself. I know that in the offseason he injured his ankle. He's kind of been rebounding from that, but he looks like he's getting healthy. But this rushing attack is really what's going to send Florida above and beyond if they're going to get there at all this year. It's got to be the rushing attack. I understand, you know, we have Anthony Richardson. His ceiling is incredible because obviously he is one of the most physically gifted human beings on the planet. Sometimes can't hit the side of a barn if he was throwing the side of a barn, but he's very physically gifted. But when you're looking at this game, if Florida's going to win, you got to run the ball. You have to run the ball consistently. I don't know why they haven't done it, but they've been so good when they have run the ball that that's got to be the focal point for the Florida Gators offense.
Eric, I look at Tennessee, and so far they're fourth in the SEC in stopping the run this year. They've done a pretty good job limiting opponents, 83 rush yards per game. Is it as simple to say if they perform well in stopping Florida's run that the Vols can win this one easily?
Brandon kind of gave a little look there whenever you were spilling that. I know it, Akron and Ball State. I get it. And you know, against Pittsburgh, you know, that guy, and it's been 2 weeks. I forgot how to say his name. Good player, really good player. I mean, he got loose for like an 86 yarder on drive two of the game or something. Outside of that run, and there's always a big one, and it counts. Tennessee did a pretty good job of bottling up Pitt on the ground as well, and so. And you're going to give up a play here and there. It just kind of is what it is. But again, this will be the test. This will be a test because, I mean, I'm, you know, doing my scout of Florida, those running backs you just mentioned, I mean, 25 attempts, 24 attempts, 22 attempts. And then, oh yeah, you have Anthony Richardson. They have found success running the football just shy, I believe, of 200 yards per game on the season. So, or a little over 200, excuse me. This is going to be a big test, but on both sides for Tennessee. How good is this rush defense? I'm intrigued to see how much better it's gotten. Tennessee has more depth up front. Tennessee has so much more depth at linebacker. And they've got some safeties that can come down and help, as they always have. And then on the flip side, how good can Tennessee – I have no clue what Tennessee is in terms of a running football team. No clue. They ran for over 200 yards against the MAC opponents, and they didn't even try to run against Pitt because of what Pat Narduzzi does. So running the football, stopping the run, but certainly stopping the run because that is what Florida is doing so well right now. And really – over the last, you know, couple, or really this entire season, that's the only thing they've been able to do. So if you want to win, you've got to be able to limit those runs. They're going to get some, but limit what Florida can do on the ground and see if you can come out victorious.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about our the rest of this game. We're going to give our score predictions. I'm going to get an X factor from each of you. One person that you think, if he comes up big, our team is going to win this game this Saturday. That's coming up in just a second. But first, want to remind you guys, thanks again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. I want to remind you that betonline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs throughout the season. Of course, they got all the betting lines on the games this weekend. We're going to talk about it in just a bit, but Tennessee, a 10.5 point favorite right now at BetOnline. The line got up to 11, back to 10.5. So if you want to get in on the action, BetOnline has got you covered. They're keeping you up to date with all the lines that are moving throughout this weekend, including all the SEC games. I saw earlier Bama, 40.5 point favorite against Vandy at home. Come on, Vandy's got 3 wins already. They're playing well. They could cover that 40, right? They'll lose by 38. But if you want to get in on the action, just go visit our friends over at BetOnline. They have got you covered with everything. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events. Head on over to their website today. You can do so on your mobile device. I always tell you, bookmark it. It should be the first place you go to every morning to learn about all the trends and action that is happening. It is BetOnline, and it is where the game starts. Continuing on here on our crossover edition previewing the SEC game of the week. It is the Florida Gators versus the Tennessee Volunteers. Eric Kane, Brandon Olson, I'm Chris Gordy. As we get into this one, guys, we'll start with you, Eric. Give me an X factor, a name that maybe we're not talking about yet that, man, if this guy has a big game on Saturday, then the Vols are going to win going away.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to point to the offense. You want Hendon to play well. You know, if Tillman is in there, of course him. But if he's not, I think that ups the ante a little bit, that Jalen Hyatt needs to continue to play, you know, the way he's played to start the season. But I'm going to go defensively. Again, I think Tennessee's offense will find ways to move the football because, you know, that's what Josh Heupel's done throughout his career. That's, he found ways at points and times last year. I mean, it wasn't all perfect, but he found ways to move the football at points and times last year against Georgia and Alabama. So I'm going to go on defense. Again, just like what we were speaking on in the last segment, Tennessee has got to stop the run game. A big part of that, I think the X factor for Florida, obviously, is the running ability of Anthony Richardson. Got to keep him between the in the tackle box. So I'm going to go back to a name I mentioned earlier, Tyler Barron. He played very well. His best game for Tennessee against Pittsburgh in week two. I look for him to have a big game. If he can keep contained and force everything back inside to the other guys on the defensive line and to the backside backer, I like Tennessee to win this football game. So give me Tyler Barron, defensive end on defense.
Yeah, and tell your guys to keep their cool, too. We don't want any more Jimmy Callaway, swinging punches out on the field and getting suspended.
How about this, though? How about at the end of the day, that was an offsetting penalty. Those were offsetting penalties. How does that happen is what I want to know.
I always tell people, look, don't swing a punch at a guy with a helmet on. You're not going to do anything to him.
Brandon,
give me an X factor, a guy maybe we haven't talked about yet that can come up big for Florida this Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, obviously Anthony Richardson's a guy, but we're going to completely bypass that because, you know, I talk about him now an hour today, basically, with my show and this. So I'm going to bypass that. I'm going to say Brenton Cox Jr. I'm going to say it's got to be on the edge. You know, Hendon Hooker's been sacked, I think it was 6 times this year so far. You got to get into the backfield. You've got to disrupt this passing attack in any way you can. We know that the secondary, they're all going to have their hands full with this Tennessee passing attack. Brenton Cox Jr. getting in the backfield, disrupting that passing attack, and maybe helping, you know, the secondary out a little bit when it's, you know, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 20, if you can force some incompletions, force some pressures, get in the backfield. Brenton Cox Jr., I spent the better part of the past 9 months saying this guy's got to show us something consistently, because last year he would often just take plays off completely. Playing like a man possessed so far this season, and I'm thinking with a game where Florida's projected to lose by double digits, you kind of got to pin your ears back and get in that backfield, and I don't want to see Brenton Cox Jr. dropping back. I know it's something Patrick Toney likes to do. Don't put him in coverage. Don't take him out. Let him just say, hey, Hendon Hooker, you're mine, and just take his head off at that point.
All right, we've come to the moment of truth, Brandon. It's time to give your score prediction. Again, keep in mind, Florida, a 10.5-point road underdog in Knoxville. But it's a place they have owned in recent years. They have gotten a lot of dubs there in Knoxville. Give me your score prediction.
See, here's the part where I'm torn at, because if Florida plays on Saturday how they've played the entirety of this season, including the Utah game, it was ugly, they're going to get demolished. But I'm also like, well, for my entire life, Florida's been killing this one. So I'm a little torn on it, but I will say, I think this is going to be a Tennessee win, as much as I hate to say it. I think we'll see somewhere in the 35 to 24 range. I can see Tennessee covering. I realize that's like perfectly covering, which is unfortunate for me because I will be betting on this game. But I think that we'll see somewhere in the 35 to 24 range. And even then, asking Florida to score 24 points against an actually good team is a bit difficult, as we've seen this year. So I'm it hurts my heart to say it, but that's how I'm feeling.
Eric, score prediction for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to give my score prediction, and then Chris, if you'll allow it, I do want to ask Brandon one more question since we have him here. But I'm kind of like Brandon. I mean, this is a series to where, you know, here in Knoxville it's called battered ball syndrome. You have some serious nightmares about this this matchup. I mean, 16 the last 17. Goodness gracious, I hadn't won since 2016. But any way you spin it, I like Tennessee in this one, and I'm not trying to pump the orange sunshine here for the home crowd, but I just like Tennessee's makeup a little bit better. I understand Florida's been tested way more than Tennessee has so far this year. Even if Cedric Tillman is a no-go, I still like Tennessee's ability to move the football, to put the ball in the air and go score. I think the defense has gotten better, and you know, we'll find out just how much better it's gotten this week defending that run game. I like Tennessee in this one. We'll see if I'm a fool come Monday, because this series, even years where Tennessee has been better on paper, when Tennessee's been better on the field, Florida has still found a way to win. So we'll figure it out. But I'll take Tennessee in this one. I'm somewhere around 34-24. I think Florida will cover. I do. But I think Tennessee will win the football game. And then I do want to ask you, Brandon, you know, we've had conversations in the past, you know, I'm a couple of years older than you, but what is this? It's been so one-sided our entire life, essentially. You know, what does this game mean for you as a Florida fan? I mean, is this a rivalry game? Gotta have it. I mean, what's the Tennessee-Florida matchup mean for you?
See, I know last year we spoke about this, and I was like, you know, it's not even Tennessee Hate Week. We don't think about you. But this week we are, because this week we are, because you guys actually look good this time. And, you know, Florida has looked bad this year. They have. And I hate being that guy. You know, someone in my YouTube comments after the Utah win, I was like, yeah, like Florida won, but like these things went wrong. And they were like, I came here to celebrate. And instead, I got the guy with someone pissed on his pancakes. And that's kind of the approach that it's been watching Florida this year. Of like, yeah, 2-1, but it's looked bad. And that's my concern. It's Tennessee. Yes, they look like a good football team. Their offense scaring the hell out of me. They have almost, I think it's almost 80 plays per game. And Florida, not so much. I think Florida is going to try to take the air out of the ball here. But I feel like this year it's more less about hating Tennessee and more about being, if we lose to Tennessee, it's bad in Gainesville right now. I think that's what it is. It's just, if we lose this game where Florida's dominated consistently, then there's a bit of a worry. But I feel like a lot of the fan base either hates Tennessee or just doesn't care. And that's kind of how it is. But I can tell you, I'm starting to hate you guys now. I'll let you know that one.
Well, over the offseason, you know, when we're doing our record predictions and kind of, you know, going over for the 50th time about game by game, I mean, was this a loss for Florida in the offseason? Because this is a game all offseason long that I continuously said, I think Tennessee can get Florida this year. If not this year, then, I mean, when are you going to get them, right? So I've kind of, it's been very much a tweener game. But, I mean, this has been a very winnable game the entire time for me, at least.
I chalk this up as a win the entire offseason. I'm not even going to pretend to lie to you.
That's kind of surprising, to be honest with you.
I said that this is a win. I said Kentucky's a win. I said Florida would lose Utah, Georgia, Texas A&M, and maybe LSU. And everything else, I said that I think they'd win. And then Anthony Richardson came out and was like, I don't know how to play quarterback. And so then we went through this season so far. But, you know, this whole offseason, I said this is a win. Tennessee's defense was something that I was just like, I think Florida's going to be able to run all over them and maybe throw all over them. And again, and then the forward pass happened, and then they don't know how to do it anymore.
Right.
So that's the issue for me here is that it's, yes, Tennessee's offense can put up points. I am way more worried about Florida's ability to match it. I think Florida's defense is going to do a good job. But if you're going to be on the field for 80 to 90 plays because your offense can't stay on the field, you're going to have a bad time.
One more thought, Eric.
I had this as a very much a toss-up game. Obviously, I'm picking Tennessee to win the football game right now. I had Florida being 1-2 entering this game. I thought Utah was overrated even in the offseason, but I still thought Utah would win in week one. That was a hell of a win for Billy Napier, and it still is. It still is. I thought Kentucky would get them, though, and then I thought, obviously, Florida would beat USF. But anyway, Duarte, I'm almost done, I promise. But for this rivalry, for me, Florida is it. Florida is the rivalry. Older demographic, it's Alabama. And even some will continue to say Vanderbilt just because it's in-state and Tennessee has just beat the crap out of them for the entire series. But for me, a rivalry, it is Florida. And obviously the stage is set, college game day, all that good stuff. It's going to be a fun one, Chris. I'm really, really excited about Tennessee and Florida.
Yeah, I was just going to get your quick thought, Eric, because, you know, I've got a couple friends who are big Tennessee fans, and they have kind of been in that, I don't know, the sadistic masochism kind of mindset of, oh, it's Florida, Anthony Richardson's just gonna run all over us. Is that because, man, what Derek Dooley and what all these guys have done to this program the last decade plus has just created this negative mindset when it comes to big games?
Well, I was talking to Brandon about it this week. Brandon, how many times have you been asked about, from Tennessee side of things, who's the backup quarterback? The Florida backup quarterback is torched Tennessee throughout this, program, throughout these two series history. So it's been incredible. Like, again, I go back to saying throughout this just horrible, you know, losing skid Tennessee's had against Florida, Tennessee has been better on paper and on the field a couple of times. And there's been some bad years where both of those teams have been bad. Don't get me wrong. But Tennessee just not found a way to win. It's just, it's weird. And then you need an incredible comeback in 2016 just to get your one win, right? So I think it's battered ball syndrome a little bit. It's very much the opposite of what Tennessee Kentucky is. You know, Kentucky has been really good under Mark Stoops the last 5 years. They had two 10-win seasons. Both of those seasons, they got beat by Tennessee. It's just kind of like, what more can you do to win that football game? it looks like that for Tennessee and Florida, just a complete 180. So, but I think there's a lot of optimism here. And again, we'll see come Monday if we're all fools, but I think there's a lot of optimism here. You've got a quarterback, you've got a head coach, you have an identity on offense, and I think you are a little bit better on defense. So, you know, we'll see.
Guys, thanks so much for doing this crossover edition previewing the SEC game of the week. I, as the unbiased standby party, I'll give my pick. I'm taking Tennessee to win 34-27. I think it's a valiant effort from Florida, but I think they cover, but I think this is the year that Tennessee says, hey, we are back, we have a competent offense, we have a competent coach, and we're going to win this game. So we will see, guys. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day.
And that'll do it for this crossover edition of Locked On Vols, Locked On Gators, Locked On SEC, all a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is your team every single day. Big time matchup. We talk about the Gators of the Gators guy. Talk about the Vols of the Vols guy. We talk about it from a bigger perspective from the SEC guy. Really, really fun collab with those guys. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Brandon. That was a whole lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow on Locked On Vols, we get our Florida preview. The ins, the outs, the stats. We're going to have a special guest on the show. All that to get you set for Tennessee and Florida. That is coming up tomorrow, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you haven't listened and you want to get some more intel on the Florida Gators, go listen to Brandon, Locked On Gators. Always listen to Chris Gordy. Make that your second listen, Locked On SEC. But thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Please subscribe to the channel on YouTube if you haven't already. Hit that like button. Fill the comments. I try to pop in there a couple times a day and chat with you guys. Thank you so much. As always, you guys are the best. Same time, same place. We'll do it again tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.